We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back here on the Keystone Kickoff Show for the fourth and final quarter. Thank you again to Phil Steele for dropping by. We are now focused on our own Gregory Pickle. I'm Dustin Hawkins, but this is Ask Greg, a special edition of Ask Greg. They'll all be just a special moving forward. But this is our first Ask Greg segment where we're taking questions from you guys from the Keystone Sports app using the Ask Greg button. And I think we put something out on Twitter where people responded using the Ask Ross button. He gets enough attention. He thrives on it. He needs it. Greg, he deserves it. So fire questions our way. We're going to pick out a winner, just like Ross Tucker has been doing in other Keystone Sports Network shows. The winner will get a prize. In our case, it's going to be a 409 tailgate wine, a bottle. They've got Sapphire Blue, which is a blueberry wine, or white wine, either Pinot Grigio or a Vidal. The winning question, which Greg will pick, is going to be the winner of a bottle of wine, as long as you're 21 years old.
Right.
I think that goes without saying, but a lot of things in life still need to be said
right.
Anyway. This wine will be released this week, so you will get one of the first bottles of this wine. So enjoy it. Fire off your
pressure
questions.
You just put on me, Dustin. Someone's going to get one of the first ever
somebody's
bottles
night
of this.
Is on the line. Right. Yeah, somebody's night is on the line here, Greg. So to pick diligently. We got some good questions this week. And again, use the Keystone Sports app. Fire off your question. Winning question will get a bottle of wine. Sapphire Blue, Pinot Grigio, or Vidal. So they've got all the different types of wines there covered, including the blue. I haven't tried the blue. I got a bottle of wine last week. I left it here. I should just drink it by the end of the segment. Anyway.
Right.
Let's start with the questions here,
I'll
Greg.
Talk, you drink, and then we'll see where the segment goes from
usually
there.
It works that I talk and you Google. So now you talk, I drink.
Exactly.
Yeah, so let's start with the question. Take good mental notes of which ones you like the best, all right? John Bentley from Ohio. Greg, he calls you a recruiting guru. Extra points right off the bat. In 2018, James Franklin recruited three guys with five-star talent. Do you think he can get at least that many in 2019, considering it will be a smaller, more focused class?
Well, I mean, I think you already obviously have one in Braden Smith, the linebacker out of Virginia. So the question really comes down to this. I think, and we talked about this a little bit a few weeks ago, but to me, if they're going to get another five-star, I think it's because one of the current guys gets bumped up, whether it be Devin Ford, whether it be a high four-star committed to get down the road. When you look at the current landscape of five-star targets that are out there, Dustin, I just don't know if I see one of them that is very likely to pick Penn State. I mean, for the most part, those guys are already decided. Now, look, if you would somehow steal Zach Harrison away from Ohio State, well, then there you go. That's another one for the Lions, but that being very unlikely. And then you keep looking down the 247 Sports composite list, and really, I mean, there's just not many of them that are uncommitted, and if they are, they're not considering Penn State. So will Penn State get more? It's a fair question. I just don't think I see it unless, like we said, somebody that's already in the class gets bumped up. The problem that Penn State will run into, though, on that front, though, is that you get right around the top 50 is usually where the five-star cut comes. Now, sometimes it's more like 47. Sometimes it's more like 52. It just depends how the cycle goes that year and how they see things at different positions. And then you look at, Penn State's class. The only one, Devin Ford and Caden Wallace at number 65 and number 75, respectively, in the country are certainly within striking distance. Of course, that's a lot of prospects that have to go down for those two to go up that far. So I don't think Penn State will clip that number this year.
I will agree that unlikely. I mean, to get three five-star guys for any program is tough to pull off in one cycle. You even
right.
look at your Alabamas and your USCs where they're looking at pretty concentrated pools of talent, and they get a lot of high-profile guys. It's not – I would say it's probably not that often that they get more than three. So
right.
getting three I think is a big deal. And for Penn State where there's not – per capita in Penn State's main recruiting territory, there's just not a high concentration of five stars in the first place.
Right.
You add in the fact that Pennsylvania is – without a doubt, Pennsylvania's down this year.
Yeah.
I've heard this spun any number of ways where maybe Penn State is sort of ignoring its backyard.
Right.
I think there's just better talent in New England, Virginia, D.C., Jersey. That's just the way that's going.
Yeah.
I would also say to this question, John, that Rivals has a 5-star outlook on Devin Ford. So depending on where you look. So that I really think that, you know, if you're going to use that metric, you know, but they have Brandon Smith as a 4-star. So 5-star caliber talent, Brandon Smith or Devin Ford are both right there. I don't think any of the other commits are going to get the 5-star territory. No. I think they're really, really good, but I don't see a 5-star player outside of them in this class. It's not like last year where I think Justin Shorter rose to 5-star status in the summer. I don't think anybody's a good summer away from getting a 5th-star.
You nor I.
I would also not bet on Zach Harrison coming aboard. So depending on how you look at it, they have 2 5-star types now, Devin Ford and Brandon Smith. That's probably going to be the end of that there. Well, this is the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is Ask Greg, your Penn State football and recruiting questions, this time with prizes, 409 Tailgate Wines. They've got 3 different types of wines, Sapphire Blue, which is a blueberry wine, and 2 white wines, a Pinot Grigio and Vidal. The winner, whoever has the best question, according to Greg over here, is going to get one of those bottles of wine, if they can verify they're 21 years old. All right. Lee from Virginia, I'm going to sort of summarize the question here. Lee said he was talking to with the Virginia high school football coach, who it's a high school that doesn't churn out a lot of Division I talent.
Okay.
But Jaywan Sider had stopped by that school anyway, so to speak. And I think it speaks to, you know, Penn State really putting in a lot of groundwork in the state of Virginia. You've seen the success they've had the last 2 cycles there. Is Penn State overachieving, or are the other programs in Virginia dropping the ball when it comes to protecting their own backyard?
Probably a little bit of both. I mean, first on the Sider thing, I mean, these guys make it a point, and they have since James Franklin got here, to go out of their way to get to high schools and different parts of states that maybe haven't produced talent in a long time, maybe never will produce talent. But for Penn State, there's a couple things there. Number one, it's not like coaches are locked into their job forever. So somebody might move to a high school where there's recruits, and then all of a sudden you have an in at that school that maybe nobody else has because you know, were talking to this coach or these coaches back when they were at a school that didn't have anything. So there's that part of it. There's just a part of it that they like to be everywhere at all times and be visible and just get out and meet people. So you have that. So I think that's why you see Sider and all these guys, like, you know, it's not just him, jump into various schools, even though maybe they don't have recruits in this cycle or quite honestly at any point. So that's why that happens. As for the question about Virginia, I mean, I think it's certainly a little bit of those schools just not faring well in this recruiting cycle. I mean, it just doesn't sound like things are going well for either one. Now, granted, keep in mind, Penn State at one point was struggling too, but Virginia Tech is, you know, Virginia's number 48 and Virginia Tech's not too much higher. I mean, they are number 26 inside the top 30, but they don't really have a whole lot to write home about. I just think that, you know, kids are seeing what Penn State's doing on the field and off of it. Virginia Tech did get Cameron Kelly recently, but other than that, I mean, they're not even recruiting Virginia all that well, period, to be honest. So, I mean, I think that at the end of the day, those schools are always going to get some of the top players in Virginia and in the Tidewater area. But for the most part, Dustin, they're just not going to always keep the big names home, especially when nearby schools like Penn State are recruiting as well as they are. And they have familiarity. I mean, when you get Nana Asidu, Devin Ford, Ricky Slade, I mean, you get Brandon Smith, you get all these guys around each other. And, you know, the best players in each state typically know each other and typically have either competed against each other for a long time, rather, or communicated with, you know, the same trainers, the same upper-level coaches, that kind of stuff. I mean, you sort of get into a sweet spot where all these guys, you know, keep telling their friends that are younger than them, but maybe as good as them, that, hey, this is the place to be. So I think those schools are probably a little underachieving and Penn State's a little overachieving. I don't know if this will be a every single year kind of thing, but for this particular class, and really the last 2 classes, Penn State's been doing very well in that area.
So I think Penn State is reaping what it's sowing in Virginia, but I also think that if this were, let's say, Pitt trying to do the same thing, putting in the same amount of groundwork and all that, they wouldn't be having this amount of success. So the fact that Penn State, you know, has the tradition and it has been a brand in Virginia throughout. I can't recall Penn State ever recruiting at this level in Virginia, but then being a national top 10 type power where these other schools in Virginia just aren't, not right now anyway. So I think the combination, and then I you know, with the anecdote with Jaywan Sider stopping by a school that hasn't produced Division I talent, I just have this scenario in my head where he's driving back to State College and is like, should I make one more stop? Should I not make one more stop? stop. You know, I'm tired. I want to get back home. And he makes the one more stop.
Right, exactly.
I don't know if this is how this plays out, but I'm just sort of envisioning just going maybe the extra mile and being extra thorough in what they're doing in Virginia. And it's starting to pay off. I don't think there's anything fluky or lucky about it. I think they're working hard. I think they have something to sell, and they're selling it well. Brad from Pittsburgh. Let's try to get two more in here, Greg.
Yep.
Brad from Pittsburgh. How would you evaluate the performance of Sandy Barber so far? She gave James Franklin a vote of confidence for the Big Ten title round in 2016 and was a finalist for AD of the Year in 2017. However, from the outside, Penn State seems to be falling behind from a facilities and coaching pay perspective compared to elite programs.
Maybe. I mean, I think that we had James Franklin sort of at the coach's caravan, sort of not begging for money. But
he's doing what James Franklin does.
He makes
it a talking point.
And the question is, you know, the question that nobody really can answer for you is that is Penn State really falling this far behind, or are things just not happening as quickly as he would like them to? And don't get me wrong. When you win the Big Ten title, when you go to the Rose Bowl, when you go to the Fiesta Bowl, when you're recruiting top classes year in and year out, and you are expected to compete for the college football playoff and the Big Ten title every year, you should be expecting things to come quickly and to be able to, you know, tool up with the big boys. However, you know, Penn State supports a lot of sports by itself as an athletic department within the school, and that means money can get tight at times, and if donations aren't flowing in readily, which sometimes it seems like they aren't, then yeah, they are going to fall a little bit behind. Is that fully on Sandy Barber? I would say a fair amount of it is, but certainly not all of it, because at some point, if you don't have the donors stepping up, you know, it doesn't matter how much, things that Sandy Barber and James Franklin do. So I think it's something to keep an eye on for sure.
So one more question. I'm going to kind of cut through some of the wording. Travis from Warren basically asking, would Penn State have been better off having Josh Gattis around, or did they get a little bit of an upgrade from a recruiting standpoint with Jaywon Sider, citing Gattis's connections? Maybe they would have gotten Antonio Alfano, for example, if Gattis would have stayed. Not that they really had a choice, but
right.
Was this a lateral move? Was it an upgrade?
I think it was an upgrade for him. Yeah, I think it was an upgrade for Josh Gattis to go from Penn State, from a recruiting standpoint. For Penn State, I'd say it's about the same. I mean, Sider's going to get you into different areas of the country. Josh was Tidewater. He was New Jersey. Sider's Florida in the South. So it just depends. If you land the guys that are going to win you championships, nobody will remember who recruited them anyway. So that's how I see that shaking out.
All right, best question. John asked about five-star talent. Lee asked about Virginia and the high schools. Brad asked about Sandy Barber. Travis asking about recruiting with these guys.
Lee from Virginia gets it. I thought that was a good question. A lot of people wonder about that kind of stuff, so that one takes it this week.
Yeah, congratulations, Lee. We will be in touch with a 409 tailgate wine of your choice. Thanks for tuning in, everybody, this week. You can always check us out at KeystonesportsNetwork.com. We'll see you next time. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
You trust AAA to work at every mile. But AAA doesn't just cover your car. They can also cover your home. AAA Home Insurance protects every square foot. And when you add AAA Home Insurance to AAA Auto Insurance, you get more protection and more savings. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent today or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA Home Insurance.
If you're looking for the largest selection of beers in the area, it's time to head on over to Route 15 Beverage Express in Dillsburg. Conveniently located right off Route 15, you will also find a great selection of local and craft beers, and you can take care of all your barbecue needs, as Route 15 Beverage now carries the great 409 Tailgate Club sauces and rubs. Head over to my favorite place, Ross Tucker, Route 15 Beverage Express. Convenient location, largest selection, and great service.